everyone. Welcome to another James C. Live interview this wonderful day. As you can see on the left of our screen, there's our good friend Christine. And then on the right is Bishop Joseph Castillo. He is a pastor. He's an actor. He's been in TV, commercials, and movies all across China. He's doing kingdom media ministry to China and the nations, working with the United Nations and working with other different people. Our topic today is about kingdom media ministry. What do we do to reach people, to reach the current situations that we have with all the past COVID stuff, the current COVID stuff, the way the church and the cultures have changed, things that are going on in China, things that are happening in the U.S. and across the globe? What do we do for those that are in the tech industry, those that are in the media industry? How can we use media as a kingdom media ministry? Thank you, Bishop, for coming today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here. And thank my friend Christine for inviting me onto your show.
So I know we have like short amount of time because you have a busy schedule, but we wanted to cover, you know, working with some of the largest audiences that you've been involved with and working with, you know, different things that you've been talking about before this program with me and Christine. What is it that the church, those that are involved in media, those that are involved in the tech world or in the business world, what should we be doing right now to be more effective?
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because in some ways I consider myself a pastor to entertainers. And it's because if you work in secular television, like I've been doing for, you know, I don't know, 7 years or so, when you work in secular television, it's a hard world to navigate. Number one, there's a lot of pressures, a lot of temptations, and there's a lot of vanity. So, you know, a lot of times people find themselves, the Christians and believers find themselves in entertainment. Even in China, I know some believers in entertainment, but they're very career-driven. They're very star-driven. And it's a temptation because, it's a great feeling when you know, walk down the street, people want to take your picture, want your autographs, whatever. It's a great feeling. It feeds the human ego. However, it's the wrong motive. And so some people are believers, but they go into television with the wrong motive because they want to be popular, they want to be a star, which is the epidemic of the American church because the pulpit is the new Hollywood star. So, you know, we have this kind of a lot of people get into ministry for unhealthy reasons. But also in entertainment, we had that same situation. So people go into it with the wrong motives or people are in it with the right motives, but then they get sucked into temptations. So I like to consider myself kind of a pastor to those in TV and media that are believers because I've been there and done that and so forth. But I was a full-time pastor when I first got into TV, and I was forced into TV by God. When I was invited to do my first show, which was a huge show with a BTS K-pop group, we had 600 million live viewers on my show. And it was a huge show, but I was forced into it because I received a prophecy. And I kept saying to people, and myself and to people, I kept saying, I'm not a monkey. I'm not going to get on TV and dance or shake my belly like the Goonies or something. I'm not here to entertain people. I'm a man of God. And I just didn't understand how a man of God is needed in media. So I really did understand that. And it took a prophecy that came to me that an opportunity was going to happen and that it's from God. I must take that opportunity. So I was kind of pushed into it by God, not really understanding its importance until my underground church in China was raided. When it got raided and the police arrested me, I realized that this TV was actually an opportunity to reach millions of people. And I realized after the arrest that if I got to shake my belly, if I got to dance or tell mother-in-law jokes, I have to call up all those producers that I turned down after my first show. Because I did the first show because God said. But the other shows, I figured, you know, I never got no prophecy about show number two, show number three, show number four. So I turned everyone else down because they said, you can't preach. And I said, if I can't preach, why am I going to come on TV? It's a waste of my time. I'm a man of God. But when the police arrested me for preaching, I realized this was God's door for me to not just reach the 300 people in my congregation, but to reach the millions of people in China and also all over the world that watch Chinese TV, you know, because I've been stopped in the airports in Toronto of Chinese that watched me when they were in Cuba on their hotel. They see me. So, you know, it was, it's a big platform. So when I got arrested, I told my wife, I said, honey, call all the producers that I turned down and tell them that I'll do it. I'll do it for free and I'll do anything they ask me to do. Of course, not sin, but you have to understand in Chinese media, typically they don't want smoking, drinking, swearing, nudity. Chinese media is very wholesome because the Communist Party controls media and they want to project wholesome family values to America. I wish America would have that same stance too in Hollywood. But believe it or not, Chinese Communist Party has more Christian values than Hollywood.
You know, that just brings up so many points right now about what is happening with media and where it's transforming. If you compare, and there's different cultures right now, China is one of the ones, you know, that is trying to set a standard on that. Then you look here in the U.S., you're seeing how things are changing. There's so many different types of things that are going on. And what's concerning to me is trying to get back to that family value, trying to get back to, you know, the good roots of trying to train and raise people proper. So I have to commend China for doing that. They have a good standard on that. There's different things that I've purchased and watched online of different kinds of Asian media, including China, that I find quite entertaining. And it's different things. It could be sports. It could be cooking. It could be some action films and drama films. There's just things out there that I'm just really excited about. And what I'm really excited is to see is how God is using you in the middle of these circumstances where there was a lot of uncertainty that you had, and taking that next step in what you were going to do and how God was going to use you. So you're using all your gifts effectively for the glory of God. You want to expand a little bit more into that?
Well, it's interesting. If you do a little research into TikTok, mm-hmm, and the algorithms that TikTok uses in the West versus the algorithms used in Asia, you see that there is actually a very clear-cut agenda in the West for TikTok to promote things that would decay morality. Part of the war on the West that China wrote about and published papers about on their 30-year plan in their war with the West that was published, I think, in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, part of it was to endorse and help cultivate a moral decay. Because Chinese Communist Party, they understand that morality is the strength of a nation. So it's interesting that they don't have religion, but they understand that morality and core family values are the strength of a nation. So the algorithms of TikTok. Sorry, I had a call coming in. Are you there now?
I'm still here. Yes.
So the algorithms of TikTok in China, they promote different values than the algorithms of TikTok in America. In America, they promote in the algorithms more immorality because they're trying to create this moral decay. So things there's like 10 major Hollywood production companies in America. I'm friends with the CEO of Universal Studios China, and I've been to the studios, been in his home having dinner, and what movies are produced in China have a higher standard of values than Chinese produced movies that will be in America, because their war on the West is to promote this moral decay. And so they're all for America to be as bad as we want in the media, but in their own country, they want to keep away nudity, promote family values. And there's a lesson that we should learn from their book, I believe.
So there's a lot of truth in this about how there's a big shift in the political realm, and there's a big shift in the spiritual realm in regards to what is happening. And the Bible verse that comes to my mind is about where you just decide to just go your own ways, and it's a reprobate mind. And what I'm thinking is that's what society is doing right now, at least here in America. And across the globe, there's different ways where people are falling away from God. And yes, as God says, he'll give yourself over to a reprobate mind. We're talking about where your mind is no longer in line with the word of God. We're talking about Romans 1:28. Those that reject God will be turned over to the wickedness and the things that they themselves are wanting to follow. So if you choose to follow God, God will help strong you and prosper you and make you, you know, the person he wants you to be. But if you decide to turn from God, he will allow you to continue to go down this path, and he's just going to open all the gates and let you just keep going as bad as you want. And he's not going to stop
you. And that's where a lot of American Christians don't understand. The American Christians are living in a different reality. And they question why sometimes elections have not gone the way that God would have wanted the elections to go. And they have to understand, God will let you choose your own king. You know, God didn't want Saul to be king. He wanted to be the king themselves. But because the people demanded a king, God gave it to them. And with it came the hardship, with it came the taxation, with it came, you know. So we in America, the Christians, don't realize often how secular society has come and how post-Christian America is. Because we go to church because we love God, because we listen to worship music, we just assume that America is not as far gone as it actually is. And it's a hard, cold reality that is slowly starting to become plain to American people, that we are in a post-Christian nation. We're in a backslid country. And even a lot of the churches and ministries that we do see that are gaining in numbers are not gaining in deep spirituality and in holiness and so forth. So we definitely are ripe time for revival. That's the good news. Because anytime there was a great revival in America, it was at a very low time of low spirituality. So I'm excited about it. It's not doom and gloom. It means that there's a revival that's on the way.
And that's so ever positive and so true, because while there's still that moment where God gives us this free will choice to serve Christ or deny Christ, and you'll see nations and groups of people completely fall away in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and even examples today, all throughout the history of America and all throughout the history of Asia and Africa, you'll see different things happen, different tribes, nations, and tongues, where people turned away from God. And somebody decided to either become a missionary and go, or somebody was already there and a prophet came, or something happened, a miraculous sign, wonder, and miracle occurred in that area that could only be explained by God. And then the next thing that happens, there's a group that starts praying. So whenever you see these revivals and things are happening, there's always normally a group that's been praying. They've been praying and fasting, and they're doing different things. They're praying for these different areas. They're seeking after God. They're worshiping God in spirit and truth. And they're going into these dark places, bringing forth the gospel and the power of Christ. So while America may be falling and other countries may be falling, God still has a plan. Even if we were in the end times right now, and more places across the globe completely stop shining the power of Christ, you would have more Christianity brighter than ever before, because those people would be like the brightest thing ever, and they would be noticed. The whole world would see what's going on, and whether they were persecuted or martyred or anything happened to them, the power of Christ would be so strong. The people, if they've turned away and had such a reprobate mind, they would just not be interested. But we're not quite to that end point yet, I don't think, my friends. I think we still have some time to reach America, to reach Asia, to reach China, to reach Cuba, to reach Brazil, to reach Africa, and reach Russia and everywhere else, because God's not done with us yet. And he'll use those different political things in these different situations.
So how does all this tie into media? This is how it ties into media. We have to understand that dealing in a post-Christian culture, yeah, in the 80s, Christianity was on primetime TV, as we were saying before we started broadcasting. But now we're in a post-Christian nation. I was recently watching the senior pastor of one of the biggest churches in Manhattan. When he came to New York City in the 80s, it was completely atheistic. There were no churches thriving in Manhattan. And he built a thriving church. But he said the missiology of the message in Manhattan at that time was different than what's needed today, because Americans still had the Christian furniture. They still believed in marriage. They still believed that, you know, in the virgin birth. They still believed in family values. But now in a post-Christian nation, they don't have the same furniture, which is basically a set of beliefs passed down from their parents and from their grandparents. They no longer have this. And so now the narrative has changed. The message hasn't, but how we present that message has changed. And so by throwing up a Christian television station and broadcasting all across a mega city, that's not going to do what it did in the 80s, because there's no longer that interest anymore. So now we have to take the message, and we need to have a new approach to media. And what I'm saying, because I was on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, 5 days a week on TBN Asia for about 2 years or whatever, a year or more. I was on CTN Tulsa, paid for that time, 6 days a week, prime time, in Tulsa for 6 months before I canceled it, because things have changed. What people are watching has changed. To reach people, we need more creative content. We need to somehow get into more mainstream avenues. If we looked at media like roads on the street, you know, we need commercial real estate. We need high traffic real estate. You know, if our churches are in the back roads and the countrysides, it's going to be really hard unless there's a special anointing, a move of God, to really get people to that backwoods church. But if you want to reach the main traffic, you got to be in the strip malls. You got to be in the main street where the media is. So what I challenge TV owners, TV station owners and managers, which sometimes goes over their head, but what I challenge them is that we need relevant content. We need cool content. We can't have some old looking person with a Mr. Rogers sweater on preaching from the Bible. That is zero interest to society today. You know, we have to have a good way to communicate, an attractive way, attractive energy, attractive topics, creativity. We have to bring our A game, and we got to get it on Main Street, you know, if we're going to get traffic in this day and age, in a post-Christian nation.
And I think that's so true. And you look at like the Kendrick Brothers and a couple of other ministries that are trying to make TV programs, they're trying to make movies that are relevant to the society at the time. And you think about what others are talking about doing. If we continue to go into that, because Christian media can expand across all streams, you could have a Christian sports broadcasting network. Why not? And you're broadcasting and going to different games. You could go and have other kinds of movies and different kinds of content to reach people, because this is an outreach opportunity to reach people where they're at. If we're not able to go and be the hands and feet God's called us to be, we're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. But if we're so completely segregated in what we are as Christian culture, where it doesn't fit in the area where someone can have a dialogue conversation and they're thinking it's the most strangest thing in the world, then you're missing the point. And I think that's part of what's happened after COVID. A lot of churches aren't open on the evenings anymore. A lot of churches are closed. A lot of people are not attending events. People aren't donating like they used to. People aren't watching online. People aren't doing the things that they did 2 years ago. And there's a reason why.
I'm in Houston, and I just moved here in July, because, you know, I was actually in China for many years, and I just moved back, moved to Houston this July. And I've been interviewing pastors to rent their building because I was thinking about having some revivals. And they said, oh, you know, the buildings are all up for rent because they're empty. There's no more midweek services. There's no more Sunday night services. I said, are you kidding me? They said, yeah, none of the churches around here have Sunday nights anymore. They don't have Wednesday nights anymore. That when I left America, you went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service. You know, that was normal. And it's really shocking to me.
And that brings up another conversation. I know there's a few different ministries that are talking about, and they're working out logistically to come up with this plan, but they want to come up with night church, but they want to do it where it's open multiple nights of the week, and it doesn't affect any of the day things because they're trying to provide a need. So I'm hoping to see this come into fruition in the future. They said sometime next year, because you got people that work second shift and third shift, people that are managers that can't go, and we're missing a group of people that used to go. And this is an opportunity.
No, that's fantastic. I support all of that. Mm-hmm. And but most importantly, the Christians have to support those things, because if not, you know, they won't, the people won't labor in vain for long. You know, if they don't get turnout, they don't get support, they won't continue those things.
And that's so ever true. So what we got to understand is that while there is, you know, an ongoing issue happening right now, because things aren't over yet, there's still other churches talking about merging. There's others I know that are talking about closing their doors. Some denominations are talking about splitting. Some are talking about completely, you know, just no longer existing. You know, their existing names will no longer have any leadership. All the doors all the way to the top are closed. And as we continue to move in this season, starting the first, you know, quarter of 2023, there's going to be another shift, and we'll need to be prepared for that next shift of what we're going to do. Example, I was going to go to the post office on a Saturday, and you're probably familiar with this being in Houston. You're stuck in traffic, and there's somebody wearing, you know, like a reflective vest, and you're seeing all these turkeys going in and out of windows. You're like, what's going on? Well, they did an outreach. They decided to give out food this week. And you find out they got a schedule once or twice a month. They're giving out food to reach their community. And then they're finding out the needs on how to prepare people for jobs and prepare people for other life skills. If we make a shift like that, then you'll still reach people, and you'll reach even more people. But as you said, you got to have time. You got to have the energy. You got to have the finances, all the logistics figured out for that, and understanding what's going on. It's like you said, even here in Ohio, a lot of the churches don't have the Sunday night services. They don't have a lot of different things, but there's a few that have, you know, the capability of social media. So they're live streaming. So they're getting hundreds of thousands of people watching when they're in their nursing home, they're in their home, they're in their car, they're somewhere else. And they're expanding from a small area to a larger audience. It's all about understanding and staying up to date on what's happening in your area with your culture.
Yeah. Churches that have the mentality of they exist to meet the needs, to meet the needs of the congregation, they're not going to make it. Churches that are had the mindset that they exist to meet the needs of the community, they're going to be the ones to overcome this season, because you can't just meet the needs of the people in the church. You have to meet the needs of the community where the church is in, you know? And so you have to be able to get into your community, solve the problems, bring new souls in, and get new, fresh faith in the church on the regular, because that's what stirs up the faith of the old believer, is the faith of a new believer. And every church that doesn't have new believers coming into the door, converting, being baptized, if the baptismal pools have not been open for somebody over 5 years old, you know, because, yeah, people get born and raised in the church to get baptized, but the baptismal pools have not been open for new converts, you could guarantee that the faith of the members are stale. And you could guarantee that membership has fallen off, giving has gone down. So churches have to actively engage the community with the message of Christ's redemption.
And that is so great, because When we take our blinders off and we take when we give ourselves that opportunity to get out of the bubble, to just say, God, I'm willing to understand this. I want to hear what's going on. I know I'm not going to like it, but I want to hear what's going on to fix these issues. When we see the bigger stuff going on, we get feedback from other people and we start making those changes, more people are going to be reached. There's going to be opposition, though, because in this season, a lot of people don't want to go back to church. They don't want to watch it online. They don't want to go. You know, they have all these things. These people have hurt them, stuff going on. Something else might have happened. And we have to break through all these different barriers and walls as we continue to move to this next step, like you talked about a minute ago. Revival would come when we are able to become someone that's going to want to be Holy Spirit minded at all times, so we can see when and where God wants us to move and how he wants us to operate. Who should we call? Where should we go? Should we do this interview? Should we not? Should I work here? Should I drive down this road? What should I sing? What should I do? And you're doing this continuously, and you have this worship mindset continuously, and you start working. God's going to open all these doors, all these vision things are going to change. But again, we may be in a season for a short time where some of those doors don't open because God's not ready yet. In other cases, the doors are going to open. You're going to watch some people grow, and you're going to be told to wait, or you're going to not be told anything, and you just have to wait. It's all about being ready in and out of any season that God gives us going forward.
Amen. And that's why I'm so excited to meet you and Christine and hear about what you guys are doing. And the passion that Christine has for media has really ignited a fire in me to see God move in new ways in media. Can you share a little bit about what you've been doing?
Yeah, well, Bishop, I really appreciated hearing your perspective when it comes to how we can challenge ourselves being in Christian media to think outside the box and even think about how we can use the mainstream in order to reach more people. So I actually wanted to ask a follow-up question to you, which is, can you describe a little bit further, what would be a practical way that Christians can be able to create content that would reach more of the mainstream?
Yeah, so a practical way, I was sharing with Christine earlier about a pilot that I was working on in China. And in this particular pilot show was educational. So we were looking at reaching young people, kids, and, you know, in China, there's a big demand for language, just like in Vietnam, where Christine's from. And so this was an 18-minute series we were going to put on some of the Chinese. We were going to actually give the pilot to a couple of the famous Chinese broadcasting platforms and see if they would be interested in then purchasing the entire show. But in this particular pilot, we were going to teach English in a funny way. So we were going to have like a cooking type show where I wore a chef's hat and I would like make a pizza or make pasta or make different things. And I would speak in the Chinese language, but then we would speak kind of Chinglish, add some English words like, okay, how many degrees is it? You baking, you know? And we kind of say certain things. It would be kind of a little bit of slapstick. Like I try and crack an egg and then, you know, smash it on my head or kind of some silly things like that. Or my apron catches on fire and I'm putting it out, you know? And in the end, we recap what were the English words for the day. But now, how would that communicate the gospel? Well, we would thread in throughout it some Christian influence. For example, we would say, all right, now we're about to try this dish. You know, Father, thank you for this food. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's try. So we do a prayer over the food. Or we say, we thank God for all the wonderful groceries he's given us today. You know, and so we kind of not overkill, because if you overkill it, it's very obvious. Because keep in mind, this was in China where it's communist. But enough where we mention the Father, we mention Christ, we pray, we show we're Christians. But 95% of the show is something positive, something funny, something informational. You know, so it's not like 95% religious, 5% content. It's 95% content, 5% weaving the message of Christ in a way that doesn't seem preaching. You know, obviously. For Chinese reasons, so we don't go to jail, you know. But also, even in a place like America, too, the minute you're obviously trying to preach to somebody, the walls come up, you know. But if you evangelize casually, you find that you reach a lot of people that way. So my approach in personal evangelism is always matter of fact, casually. You know, I believe in God, thank God for my food, but I'm also normal at the same time. So crossing the bridge from being who they are and to believing in Christ, having faith in Christ, it's a small bridge to cross when you don't seem overtly religious, when you seem normal like them. Not saying that, of course, we're not saying to the extreme like, oh, you're going to smoke a joint like them. That's not what I mean. But I mean, like, you're a reasonable person, a nice person, talkable, you know, somebody relatable, but you believe in God too, you know. So these are some kind of strategies that we use, and that's the same way I like to approach media evangelism, is we share the gospel, and it kind of, we call it the overplay for the underlay, So we have great content, funny, interesting, relatable, cool people, but in the end, boom, we bring it home to the altar call. We bring it home to the encounter. We bring it home to the message of Christ. And then the Holy Spirit will bring the gravity in that moment when you do that.
And see, that's what is needed right now, is for somebody to just wake up and say, yeah, I'm going to take what I do in my daily life. Because like too many people think Christianity is just someone that just sits around and reads a Bible and sings, you know, Kumbaya all day, and they don't think about, I like to go to Starbucks, you know,
yeah.
I want to go to Bucky's, you know, I want to go to Whataburger. Yeah,
or you like baseball, you know.
You know, you like baseball, you like football, you know, you like video games or something, you like to read. Yeah. We're human beings. And if Christians would realize that human beings have a human component that needs to be met, you have to think about, you know, the greats like the Salvation Army, William Booth. You got to think about others that went through and made decisions to reach people and said, well, if the person is starving, let's put it today's society. The person is starving, you know, and they can't feed themselves, then what's the point of them having, you know, all this other stuff, because they're not going to want to listen. You see that really prevalent in the educational system, where people are struggling and they're having problems either at home and everything else. If you don't find out the root of the problem, then the solution never gets resolved. You're just putting a little frosting on top of a rock and saying, here's a cupcake. And I'm like, no. Yeah.
And let me give you an example of what my approach would be. Say I was a Christian baker. I'm a Christian and I'm a baker. I wouldn't name my bakery Anointed Bakers, because then I immediately marginalize a group of people. You know, already the walls are up. But if it's, you know, Joey's Baked Goods, and they come in and it's like a nice bakery, but, you know, done with excellence, and then we serve them with a smile, and then we say, hey, you know what? Thanks for serving us. It's our pleasure to serve you, because God served us by giving his only son. They would come in with the walls down and then get hit with the gospel. So I'm saying, bring the message of Christ without all the religion.
So Christians should be, and another way of saying this, we should be in the forefront, in the mainstream, when it comes to customer service, the whole experience, whether you are the customer or you're the manager or you're the employee, let's do it from another perspective. We should be the leaders in this.
Yeah, I think there's a guy out there with a podcast. I think it was called the Crowder Show or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a totally cool, interesting, secular show, but the guy's a believer. And if you watch him for a couple episodes, he'll talk about God, he'll talk about the Lord. But it's a totally secular show. It's relatable to non-believers. Awesome, you know. As a matter of fact, when I was in Austin, Texas on a layover, I heard that Joe Rogan was performing. And so my cousin said I should go. So I went to go to see the Joe Rogan show, and he does drugs and stuff. He's not a follower of Christ necessarily. But it was interesting because he's having these deep conversations about faith. And he's met with Jordan Peterson, and he's talked to a couple of believers that have been talking to him in the last, you know, year or so. And so he gets up on in stage and is doing a show, and he says, you know what? He talks about how he's starting to believe in Christ, and he's come to the realization that if he's wrong about Jesus and he dies, who cares? But if he's right, if Jesus is true and he doesn't believe, then he's going to hell. He says, so I'd rather believe in Jesus and die for my sins and make it to heaven than not believe and go to hell. And it was so funny, but I sat there and watched a packed, sold-out crowd of maybe a couple hundred people all hear the secular guy who does drugs convince them that they should believe in Jesus. And I thought, wow, what if we could be just as relevant in our comedy, in our entertainment, but be, you know, not do drugs. I mean, obviously being a real strong Christian, but be as relevant and be able to also explain the gospel as powerfully as somebody like Joe Rogan, who's actually God's working on his heart. God's bringing him through. And I thought, you know, the power of that in this society, in a post-Christian nation, here's this guy who's doing shrooms, smoking weed, but he's convincing a room of hundreds of people of why they should start to let their guard down and possibly believe in Christ. Jordan Peterson is doing the same thing. Jordan Peterson says, you know, I'm not a Christian. I don't dare say I'm a Christian because it would demand a lifestyle change. But he has a series of lectures and thoughts where he's saying how the Bible is the greatest book, how the Bible is, Jesus is probably true, but he's not ready. But he's priming people to believe in Jesus. And I think really, that's kind of where the revival is coming, is on Main Street.
And that's what's going to happen. There's going to be two different directions. You're going to have someone that's well known who's going to have a life-altering Christ moment, and it could be different things, you know, miraculous signs and wonders. Could be an act of kindness, as we just talked about a minute ago. If Christians were in the forefront of customer service, if we're in the forefront of being the hands and feet of God, we're not just talking about being able to effectively communicate your testimony and tell people why you love Jesus, that's great. But what are you doing for the rest of your hours of your day? Are you doing a good job at your job? Are you doing a good job with your family? How are you in traffic? How are you in standing in line when you have the ticket, when you got to go get your driver's license? What happens when someone cuts you off in traffic? You're in the grocery store. Somebody, you know, drops the tomato sauce on the ground. People are watching this all the time. What are we doing? And then on the other side, what are we doing behind the scenes that people don't know about? Where we're trying to help people and make things better. We're not making it about ourselves. We want to see people grow. We want to see people to have a hand up and not a handout.
Yeah, I think our greatest harvest field is our coworkers, our managers, the people who work for us. But we have to live the life to be able to reach them too.
Yeah, and that's really my encouragement. My encouragement is that everyone out there, your mission field is where your feet are. So whether you are called to a media ministry similar to all of our friends here that are in this discussion, or to impact the education, the governmental mountains, whatever you're called to do in your sphere of influence, I really encourage you in this day and age to just go for it. Press forward, have the faith, just take that first step of faith, and you will live a life of excitement where you get to partner with God to see and bring blessing to this earth. And so I really want to encourage you, wherever you are, God knows the situation of your heart. He knows the deep things of your heart. And if you call out to him, he can give you a vision and a mission and give you purpose in your life. Amen. And they've done studies, and they've found that, you know, people can live without, you know, water or food for a certain amount of time. But if they don't have purpose, that's when their soul starts to die. Wow. And so I would say right now, in this time of crisis, with crisis comes opportunity. Every time that there's been a great crisis, there's been innovation. But we need those pioneers to be the tip of the spear that will go forward and press forward. And if you're a tip of the spear, yes, of course, that means that not everyone's going to agree with you. But if you're following God, keep moving forward and see the journey that he has for you. So I just pray that right now, if anyone feels a longing in their heart to really live a purpose-driven life for God, go ahead and step out. Now is the time, and you have brothers and sisters all around the world that are praying with you and are with you. So I just really thank you so much for being on this journey with us, and I look forward to seeing all the great things Amen. That are going to happen in Jesus' Amen. Name.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you so much, Christine. Bishop, could you lead us out with a prayer for the media? Like I said, this is a great season. We got, you know, we got floats about to come out here for the Thanksgiving here in the States. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of stuff going on across the world where people are preparing to finalize their exams for college. So they're wanting to look to the future. You got people finalizing their performance reviews at work because this is the end of the year. Let's just go out and pray for media as we continue to be Christ-like. Let's go out and pray that God will Amen. Move in the midst of that. Can you lead us out with that prayer?
Yeah, Father God, we just come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for everyone involved in media, everyone called to media, those called to maybe serve in the Christian world of media, to give them anointing, creativity, wisdom, direction. We pray, Father God, for giving them media keys. Keys, Father God, to reach people. Keys, Father God, to let the content, Father God, reach people. Bring really, you know, touch their hearts, Father God, to strike a chord with the public, Father God. And we pray for those called to secular media, that they wouldn't compromise the message and compromise their life, Father God, and find creative ways to live out the gospel, to share the gospel, to speak the gospel. They might not be able to preach during a movie where they have a set of lines, but during the interviews before and after and the promotions of the movie, they can point to their faith and to their strength, which is Christ, and that we can not be a divisive agent in society, but we can be a ministering agent to people who are hurting, lost, and broken, and depressed, and deprived, and hopeless in this hour. We pray, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to use your vessels to minister life, healing, salvation, deliverance to this generation in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for even using your people to help lead people out of the bondage of gender confusion and this spirit that has really plagued this age. We pray, Father God, for there to be deliverance in the house of God. We pray, Father God, for there to be influence to bring people restoration of their soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you so much, Christine. It has been a very big honor and privilege to spend this time with you. May you both be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.